just left for a meeting and started over to see a woman friend of ours, Mrs. Oberlin, over in Edmonton, Alberta. And we were just 20 miles of the Canadian line when we got the news that my brother was dying. So we turned right around through a snowstorm and started right back home, making us 11 days in travel. And we got in late last evening and up late last night and early again this morning, so very tired. But as soon as I got it to my mother, after we got a place where we could call in again, she said, Brother Neville has been out there. That's a real pastor, folks. That's something we should appreciate that. Now, maybe your loved ones have never come to that spot. But in an hour of crisis, when you know that something has taken place and notice a friend will stick by and run out to my brother. And then when I went, as soon as I got in his king's clothes and duck out there, who did I find in the room in prayer? For Brother Neville. Out in the room there with Howard in prayer. I'm grateful for that. And I'd rather say it right here at the platform. Brother always said, I'd rather give you a little rosebud now than a whole wreath after you're gone. Right now is the time to do it. And I appreciate Brother Neville. I know we all do around this church for being a gallant pastor. Just to show him how much you appreciate him, raise your hands like this to God. Thank you. That's really something that I went home and I told my wife, I said, honey, when I went and knocked at the door, slid down the hall, read the chart, see really what was wrong, and went out there and I heard something in there and I tapped the door, thought it was someone talking. And he hadn't sat up in the bed with his Bible, which he pulled up with her head down, praying to God when I went in. Put me up in his arm with him in prayer. And also my prayer, tell God that I appreciate a real friend and a real pastor. And may Brother Neville long live in this world to serve the Lord. And I believe God is keeping here for many, many years to serve him, someone that God. It struck my heart deeper than anything I've had in a long time. Now, usually I was at Sunday school classes and dismissed yet back in the children. So perhaps maybe we'll pray for the sick. I didn't make any announcement of coming in praying for the sick, but if there's any here to be prayed for, then we'll just have prayer for them. Now, if Sister Gertie, if you will, come up, play the great position for us, and we'll ask our dear Heavenly Father if He will bless those who are needy of Him today. Then we want you, all that's sick and needy, just gather up around the altar. I'm not mistaken, is this Nellie Sanders coming here? God bless you, Nellie. 25 years ago, God bless you. I looked over a while ago and looked at you, and I didn't want you to think, looking, gazing at someone. I kept looking back, and I thought it looked like Nellie. None of you here probably remember. I guess somebody, I may remember Nellie Sanders, for certain. And she was one of the first comers to the tabernacle. She and my departed wife were bosom friends and sisters in Christ. And she married over here one of the volunteers in America, an officer in this move, and he, our brother, has gone on to be with God, leaving her, I think, with two boys, I'm saying, some children anyhow, and some of them still in school, and Nellie's wandering by herself and just coming into the age of real nervous and upset. She called me when I was in Phoenix, Arizona, in a meeting for prayer. Many things go back, Nellie, to the time when sawdust on the floor, and you and Hope, that ad hoc girl, and a lot of you used to be around here many years ago, 25 years ago. She's passing by me. We're going down the road swiftly, that's the truth. Amen. Well, God be with you now. Those who are sick, want to come up around the altar for prayer. Our pastor and I join together in a word of prayer for you. Come out of here. Now, look, immediately after this sharp message, just the other preaching service, which you could say we'll dismiss the Sunday school service after the prayer for the sick. And we're go right into the other service. I got a couple announcements to make. this great position now is near. The sympathizing Jesus, he speaks the drooping heart to cheer, no other name but Jesus. How we just enter in now to a fellowship of this prayer, healing for each other, knowing that God is here to promise the answer. Yes, that's all right. We'll go down and pray for her. The lady's sitting down. All right, Brother Neville, would you come help me? If you'll be just reverent as possible, the little fellows are taking their seats, and let's pray now so that when we go down to the point, the sick and the afflicted, we're going to have faith in God we can heal.
Okay.
Have faith that God will. All of you out there in the audience as well this morning don't need to come around the altar. Just think now that it was God's grace that brought you here. Now you pray for these others that are at the altar here, young and old. Has there come to your tabernacle? We send the pastor anointing, we pray for them, and then send the pastor anointing. I come along with him laying hands on the sick while he anoints him. The scripture, anoint the sick and all in the name of the Lord. Lay hands on them, and they shall recover. The scripture. Now all of you together, as you bow your heads now while we offer prayer together for the sick. Our Heavenly Father, we humbly come into thy divine presence just now in the way for the needy, the sick. Those who cannot help themselves, and many of them, Father, are past doctor's age. Nothing can be done except by grace be extended to them. I pray humbly today, God, with all my heart, joining with this little church here, that the great Holy Spirit that's present now to verify the word of the Lord Jesus that says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in their midst. If they'll ask anything as pertaining to any certain thing, shall receive at your eternal word, Lord, that was hopefully even before the foundation of the world. Been given to us by the prophet, by the Son of God himself. Now, our deep desire, now, Father, is for you to heal the sick, the needy, that share around the altar. I pray that you just give each one a special blessing of favor just now, that as we go, your servant and myself, to anoint and lay hands upon the people. May the Holy Spirit get deep down the faith in the heart, and may each one be healed. And we ask in Christ's name for his sake. Now, with your head bowed, everybody in prayer, Pastor Nichols. Prisons of unbelief and be free as we walk. We know the angel of the Lord will go before us confirming the word of God and free every one of us from the prisons of fear and sickness and distress and disease and affliction. For God has promised you, everyone that's shut up in them kind of a condition this morning, may the light of God shine in upon them just this very day. May they go from here a well person. Thank you for the message, for your word, for the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Grant these blessings, Father. Now be with us in the preaching service of this morning for the little short message coming up. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Now, for just a couple of moments, those who have to go now, let's just stand while we sing a hymn. And though Take the name of Jesus with you. Those who have to go can be dismissed. Those who can stay for another 30 minutes, we'd be glad for you to stay. All right.
Take the name of Jesus.
If you're 47 years old, I'll be ashamed of myself. But just is just the human part of it. But oh, how valuable it is, and how wonderful, nothing like being saved.
Amen.
But being saved. That, you don't realize, friend, I'm sure that the devil keeps that away from you as much as he can just for me to realize what the value of a soul is. Did you ever just imagine what it is and what eternity means? How long you're going to be that way?
Amen.
You realize this is the time when you make your decision for eternity.
Amen.
Last Sunday with you, and here I believe I preached on the assurance of how that God had promised and ordained you and called you before the foundation of the world and put your name in His book.
Amen.
You had nothing to do with it. God did it. Isn't that wonderful? The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And why? It never happened until 4,000 years later. But God, when He spoke it, He had to do it. Because He had to keep His word. In the same time that the Lamb was rolled out, you were rolled with Him.
Amen.
Our names were written in the Lamb's book of life, not the night we come to Christ, but before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
So that's the assurance. And Brother touched on that this morning in this marvelous Sunday school reading. Now, let's just read for a scripture somewhere, just for a little, I want, that's something that's on my heart. I'd just like to speak it for a few moments, and then we'll dismiss. And expect the services again tonight. And now, I got a message on my heart coming down the other day, and I want, if God willing, if I'm back here next Sunday morning, to bring it to the tabernacle for the first. Just something that's on my heart of the time I went into a place to eat. And I thought, well, am I going crazy? What's the matter with me? I can't stand this music. All this your stuff that you have today. These silly women singing down out of a ivory palace. And all this. I said, if I see something wrong with me in the Holy Spirit, said, oh, no. Oh, no. If you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God's not even in you. So I thought, well, I don't want to get adjusted then to this world. And
Amen.
Then the Holy Spirit began to reveal this message to me. I wouldn't have time this morning. It's too tired. Besides, maybe the Lord willing, next Sunday morning, if we're still around, I got some trips to make this week, but if I'm still around next Sunday morning, God willing, Brother Neville will announce it on his broadcast on Saturday, and we'll be in time bringing this message. I want you to try to bring it somewhere. It's a gospel message of the day, hour, and season.
Amen.
I had predicted 6 months ago that this was the closing year for America. And we'll see what it is according to the gospel or not.
Amen.
This is the time when she's gone.
Amen.
It's either going up or down this year.
Amen.
Right. Now, you young children, I want you to bring me a piece of paper and write it in a flyleaf of your Bible that when Brother Van's done passed on for him, you see whether I was right or wrong.
And Amen.
You know whether the Lord still speaks to you. Now, in Romans, the fourth chapter, I want to read just for a portion of words to continue on. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he had wrought the glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness.
Amen.
And may the Lord add His blessing to the word. Now the little subject, if they just call it so, that I wish to speak to you about, is divine love. And when divine love has been projected and comes to its destination, sovereign grace takes its place.
Amen.
Can you think of that? Ponder over so we get it real close now. See? When divine love is projected and comes to its destiny, then sovereign grace takes over.
Amen.
Now,
it's
a strange thing that how the people you in our association. Now, we all have to face these facts, that there is people that you just love to be around. And there's people that find people, and you love them, but yet there's something about the person that you just can't hardly stay around. Now, we want to talk of facts. Now, the reason that is because of the atmosphere that the individual himself or herself creates. Because you are a miniature creator.
Amen.
Because you're sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
No matter how far you stooped in sin, you're still sons and daughters of God. Because you're fallen, degenerated in your soul and mind. But God is your creator. And in your fallen state, you are lost, undone, creation of God, dominated by the devil. That's right. But still, your sons and daughters of God is not willing that any of you should perish, but all might come to repentance. And he's done everything that's made possible for the only God himself to do this, to give the opportunities to the creatures of his to accept them to be what he wants you to be, back in your right estate again. And no person, now here it is, and it's pretty sharp, but no person is in their right mental status until they have accepted the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That's a deep word, but that's the truth. No person is mentally right until they have accepted Christ Jesus as personal Savior. That sounds strange, but it's the Bible.
Amen.
Certainly. That is true. He is the one, and in your created being, now you'll be crazy to the world when you do that. Because you have to come out of the atmosphere you're in into this other atmosphere.
Amen.
When you do that, God lifts you right up from the world, and you live in a heavenly atmosphere.
Amen.
And then to the world, you're just contrary to what that is. See? And this is contrary to the world.
Amen.
See, now, what you want to do is be lifted up by Christ into an atmosphere to where you are happy,
amen,
peaceful, and then in there you create a situation. And now, many times, we in churches, this may seem strange, but if you just watch it, now, this is for the church, it's for the people. The people get one another's spirit, and instead of getting the Holy Spirit, you go into a group of people and you watch the ways that a person acts, and then find people that come into that congregation. The first thing you know, they act the same way. You take a good woman and a bad man, and he'll either become a good man or her a bad woman. In the atmosphere that you live in, you project to your associates what you are. Then what type of people ought we to be if we're Christians?
Amen.
What type of atmosphere should we live in? In a controlling, soothing, healing atmosphere we should live in, with our hearts constantly in prayer, with a deep love for every person we come in contact with. Message, if I say this to the little churches, pray for me for the world mission, that's my success in praying for the sick. If I can't get right down into the feeling out of sickness with the person, it usually doesn't do any good. You've got to come right down till it's just, and you feel it yourself. There's some time ago, an old Mexican man, down on the platform. When he runs to the platform, most states, he fell down, grabbed out his rosary. I told him, not necessary. And to the interpreter, Brother Pinoza, so he raised up, he put his arms down and began going somewhere. He was blind. I looked at him. I looked at him, old wrinkled up feet, probably never wore a pair of shoes in his life. I looked at my shoes, didn't it fit him? I'd give him a shoe. He was blind.
Now look, he was a rider across his shoulders. Big man, weighed 200 and something, I guess. He couldn't wear him a coat. And as he was standing there, the gray hair, I thought of my daddy. I thought if daddy would have lived to be about this age, he'd have been about the same age stand as this. Around 65 to 70 years old. And I entered into a love of that man. The way that I thought, maybe he never had a decent meal in his life. Maybe he never sat on that table in his life. And all this, and then walking around in darkness. Then something come into my heart. God be merciful. He's a man. He's a brother. And when that strikes, there's something in our heaven. There's a creation moves around. And it's projected to this person. In a few moments, I heard him hollering something over my shoulder. And he was hollering, I can see, I can see.
Amen.
What was it? Divine love.
Amen.
Sympathy has been projected by the Holy Spirit into this man. And by that, at the end of the road where he couldn't, nothing could be done, and love had taken its place, and love had met love, then sovereign grace went to earth.
Amen.
And God, through sovereign grace, restored the sight to the man. See, first you had to enter into that spot. That's what you had to do to a sinner. Many people pray for sinners. That's all right. But that's not the way to win a sinner. It's your business to win the sinner. You don't win him by praying for him. You win him by talking to him and introducing to him Christ. That's your business. That's your duty. It's to win sinners by talking to them and protecting to them the love of God through the Word of God that wins the sinner. Someone said, I'll let you go to church. I sure like that woman. I like that fellow. See? Because you're winning that. If you sit home and just pray for the sinner and never went to contact him, there's very little can be done. But you've got to pray and then go. That's right. Go and do it. Now, the projecting of this love. Here a few days ago, I was listening to a testimony of a great plow manufacturer standing on the platform. Well, there's a businessman from around the world sitting on the platform, and this plowman, he got up and said, well, I didn't know why I had to be operated on. And I love the man. And he's a great follower of Brother Robert, our friend. And so once, he said, when I found out that I was getting sick and having stone trouble, kidney stones, I went to eat dinner with Brother Oral. And so Brother Oral got up and said, now, brother, I see that you're in distress. So he said, I'm going to pray for you. And he said, well, praise the Lord. I just want you to say that, Brother Oral. And said, Oral, come over and put your hands on his kidneys. And said, I'll rebuke this kidney stone and to leave this man immediately. And said, when he did it, said, I got relief. And said, just a little while, he come back again. Said, I went again to Brother Oral. And said, he prayed again. I got relief. But the every time it come back, it comes worse. And he said that. The next thing I thought of, if I could go down, he said, to Brother Brown, and could stand before him, and the Holy Spirit would come to him, he would tell me then why that I didn't get healed when Brother Oral prayed for me. So he made his way out and he came to Louisiana. I was in service with there. And I stood before him for 20 minutes. The Holy Spirit rebuked, didn't say a thing. I prayed for him. And he said he felt better. And he come on down. They went getting nervous, excited. He went from place to place. Everybody prayed for him, prayed for him. And he loved the Lord. But finally he got to a place and he was shipped him off the nails. Nails looked him over and said, you got one chance out of 1,000 of living. Instead of an infection, your whole body's poison and uremic and all, I forget what all. It says you got one chance out of 1,000. So he sat prayed, oh God, you know I love you. And I was all your servant. And he took the chance and he put him to sleep. And said, when he woke up in the room, he said, there's a light shining in the room. And the glory of God was all around him. And his doctors were astonished.
Amen.
And come in and say, well, what's happened here? Why should I feel like going home?
Amen.
What was it? See, it built his hopes up on if anything ever happens to me, I'll go to Brother Robert. If that fails, I'll go to Brother Grant. And yet he loved the Lord Jesus. God had to let everything else fail to lay him there on his bed, even when the doctor said, we can't do nothing. And then when divine love had come to his end, all his grace kept him and took his place.
Hallelujah. He'll do it every time. If your motives are right, your attorneys are right. If you have divine love and believe, walk out and die in nothing.
When it comes to the black, the end of the road has come, then Father, grace, take
him ahead. How I have seen it work. How I've noticed it in my own life. And not by just a theology. Or not by some kind of somebody else's experience.
I'm so glad today that I can talk from a personal experience to know that that is the truth. Why do we fear then? As long as we know the love of Christ is resting divinely in our hearts, that we pass from death unto life, all demons out of hell pass out of hell. Even itself. If you'll continue in that love and faith, it's just like a little baby.
Amen.
You take a little baby, I'll show you to the little fellow together. Here's Mrs. Kelly sitting here before us. One of the drunken soldiers. I believe it was your aunt Joan out there, and she was picked up for dead here and put in the hospital unconscious. Everything had failed, and she was out early. And yet with the love of God and her husband came over one night that day, and then Father's grace was protected as the divine love, and here she sits this morning among us that are today. See, it's something that happens. When you get to the end of your road, when you get to hell, you can't lose. Then it's time God will move in by Father's grace. The thing that you see, you take a little kid, a little baby, they have a little cough and stagger, and they'll scream and kick and holler, and the first thing you know, they'll hold a birth, and you'll see a mother grab it, tear it, throw it up in the air, throw it in the face, let it alone! There's never been in our medical history one ever died like that. They won't die. He's just having a tantrum. He's trying to get sympathy. He's trying to get some humor. And it's just a temper spell. And after he gets his temper spell to a place he's held his breath where he can't go no further, then nature sets in. And he relaxes and starts breathing again. All your picking up and screaming his face, hollering and blowing in his face makes him worse. That's the way it is out when we travel from church to church, from pillar to post, from healing center to healing center.
Amen.
Amen. Brother! Hallelujah. Take love and go forward! The road God will protect all the truth when you come to the road. When love has been still, God's obligated to end. When you come to your end and man says, there he is, in grace, take forward. It's God's nature to do so.
How I've noticed it. How the one I just excuse these personal testimony now for a minute. You read the book out there that day and pulled an order on that maniac under the platform to try to kill me. All of you read that perhaps in the book. What's taking place? God sent me to preach the gospel.
Amen.
That I was doing. Thousands of people were gathered in the streets of Standing Pool. And 60-some-odd hundred in the inside, the poor down there, and the people standing there, their hearts were longing, hungry. That's where no one else was on the field. Temple was on the meeting. And it had to pull you through crowds and everything else was police escort to get in. I went to a room, and there led two little officers to Christ over in the dressing room.
Amen.
Two young boys on the police force in their early 20s. One of the mothers had been healed the night before, and they both bowed there, and I led them to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Walking out on the platform to speak peace. All of a sudden, the maniac who had hit a preacher down the street that afternoon broke out of an institution, broke his collarbone, broke his jaw. He had a mania to kill preachers. He run in and thought, this is my chance. Up to the platform he comes, weighing about 250 or 260, nearly 6 foot 10 inches tall, swinging his hands back and forth. He says, you hypocrite, you snake in the grass. People being healed, thousands being saved and blessed, ministers inspired. This great revival just in its beginning, man, to start bringing forth across the world. Send up there to T.O. Osborne.
Amen.
Amen. Who has won tens of thousands of saved to Christ. Sitting there, pastor of a church with 8 or 10 in his congregation, watching down out of the balcony. And that maniac runs to the platform to disturb the meeting of the Lord. And he says, you snake in the grass, you hypocrite, imposing yourself as a servant of God, I'll show you that you're no servant of God, and I'll break every bone in your measly little body. And he runs there and pulls back his big fist. They hit me. I turned around, preacher shattered, everything stood me. Honked and spit in my face. He said, you snake in the grass, I'll show you how much servant of God you are, you deceiver. I never said one word. I looked up at him. And all at once the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Something or other. What would you think if a man spit in your face? Why is there any temper about you now? Sure it would. And there comes two cops out. But them two cops that railhead with the things in their hands to beat the man down to take him off. But I couldn't let him do it. God had brought love in my heart for that mortal being. I thought it's not the man. It's the devil that's got him in that condition. That man to be a normal man. He wants to love and live like other man does, but it's the devil that's got him like that. And a love begins to swirl out to that man. And the first thing you know, that man dropped and fell across my feet there when divine love has been protected. Hallelujah. That then it's up in place. It'll do it every time. Not long ago, when I might have told you this before, last year, year before last, it is now, I was going in the yard up there trying to get my yard mowed down, round, round. I had to stop and change clothes when they pray for somebody to come out. Well, my yard is grown up. Before I, in the back, before I can get the front mowed, it's grown up. And so one day, I was back in the back with an old mowing machine, a mowing lawn, trying to get a little power mower. And I just out that there was a nest of hornets in the corner there. And I rammed that mower into that, and at the back yard, I had my shirt off, no shirt on. I hit that fence with that mower machine, and with no shirt on. And at the moment time, I was covered all over with hornets. You know what they are, a big nest of hornets, they kill you. Great big comets at the buzzing. Oh, I thought first it scared me. And all of a sudden, something began to happen. We got it quiet down. That horn is still buzzing around. Now this sounds like a kid. This sounds like you now. The God of heaven knows whether the truth or not. Of whom I stand. Then it did it. Kind of frightened feet to smack that horn. There was some kind of a godly love come up over me and I thought, poor little fellows. You got a right to be over there. That's the way God made for you to protect yourself. And I disturbed you. And I'm sorry that I did it. If I had it to do over again, I wouldn't disturb you. I didn't mean to do it, but I said, I'm the servant of the Lord. And his sick children said to me, pray for him. I got to hurry and mow the yard. Now, you little creatures of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, go back to your nest. I'm not bothering you. And what was it? It was that a place where I could have been stung today. In the love of God, the submitted heart, the projecting of love came forth, and driving grace to the devil. That's the devil's harness.
Hallelujah.
Beast and devil, and every harness will have to be trampled in the fire and lined up like a military bunch of soldiers in the corner.
Amen.
them from saying amen. I was at the end. I love. God gave love to my voice, and I spoke to him about that. And the Holy Spirit, I am ready. Tired of those hornets, got back into their nest.
I'm far down the road, old Guernsey's out here in jail one day. This big old bull out here killed a colored man. That red saw him out here. Killed a colored man, almost killed that west boy the same way they told me not on the farm. I didn't know I was patrolling. Folks, if I could have gone, I didn't have it. One day crossing, I thought I was going to go over there and pray for some sick person. I went across that field not thinking about that bull being in that field. And I got way out in the middle of the field. What happened? First thing you know, I saw a little clump of bushes. This big spider full of long horns out there. And he let out a roar. I knew that was that killer. I looked back. A few yards from the fence. About 200 yards. And he wasn't standing 30, 40 feet from me. There he stood. Threw his horns down. Went out a very big ball. I didn't have no gun. A little tree to get into. I couldn't go back to the fence. I thought, well, this is the end. You're praying in the earth where you meet your doom to be mauled to death, gored to death out here in the field. I stood there with all of a sudden, everybody, something in the center of the world is gone. Something came into my heart. I thought, I disturbed that poor animal. It's not that poor animal. It's the devil. That makes it good. And there's only one thing. Here I am, down. Won't you to hear? There's only one thing that will conquer the devil. That's purity, fine love, love will conquer everything.
Praise God.
God's told us to the world.
Hallelujah.
They conquered the sin question. They conquered the sickness question. They conquered the difference in the church. They conquered everything that is unrighteous. To be conquered in the earth, you just let it do it. And when this great animal started towards me, and instead of hating that animal, Brother Mike, I love him. And I thought, you are God's creature. Who else could make you with God? And you're laying there peacefully, and I come on your territory with signs of that in the field, but no thought of it. I just cut off my regular territory to go over and pray for a sick man. And there I seen that fellow coming. His head just as well as I said, and he was making time to kill me. And I knew it. Just divine love began to come out of those poor creatures. A dumb brute. Don't know no better. There you lay. And I disturbed him. So now I am God's servant. You are God's creature. In the name of Jesus Christ, go back into the world. Oh, I am on my road to put the one of God's sick children. Go back and lay down. And that bull come to me just as hard as he could. No fear, I would have been afraid. I would be a better devil sitting right here. Just a pure, holy love in my heart. What did I do? It created an atmosphere.
Amen.
And that bull run right into that atmosphere, not over 10 feet from me. He stopped and threw his feet out. He looked right there, sober seated, with the most meekest look on his face, and turned around and walked over and laid down like passion and
doctrine.
When I love his protection, power, grace takes over the earth. There's the same God that can stop the lion from coming to Daniel, and they come with a real Daniel hanging out in the love of his heart. The lion's going to lay down. They were peaceful. I tell you, my brother, when God can wrap you,
hey,
you
have
to die. Yes!
There's seeds in the valley for you then. There is. Here, some time ago, I was coming up from over in Dallas, Texas. I was flying by plane, coming home. We had a meeting over there. And on my road, got into a storm. And a plane was forced down at Memphis. And while I was in Memphis, they put me up over there at the Peabody Hotel, old, great, pointy place. I kind of felt so out of place. I was up there that night, stayed all night. They called me the next morning and said, River Dam, yes, the limousine will pick you up now at exactly 7 o'clock. The plane will leave at 7:30. I thank you, sir. I'm up.
I got up, prayed, and I thought, well, I got time maybe to run to the post office box just to make a little answer last night. I got up, started down the street, going down the street saying,
there are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all on flame.
With the fire that fell on Pentecost, that cleansed and made them clean.
Oh,
ring out within my heart, oh, glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Going down the street with a bunch of letters in my hand, going towards the post office, I felt something strange. You know what I'm talking about? Just like everything is settled down. Oh, what a feeling. Oh, my, isn't this wonderful? Doc used to sing a little song, let me walk with the heavenly dove, fill my ways day with love. I used to think of that. And this love is going to pour down. Oh, extra. We got love, but we need the abundance of love.
Amen.
The overflowing of love. You say, well, I love sinners. Oh, brother, sister, do you love them well enough to go out and talk to them and woo them to Christ? See what I mean? You say, I love the Lord, but can you trust Him when the doctor shakes his head? Can you trust Him when everything else is gone? You need an overflowing baptism of love.
Amen.
Divine love. When it seems like when you pray and your prayer is not answered, do you still love Him? Is there something that keeps purging you on? That God's sovereign grace has to take the work.
Amen.
It's got to. It's God's nature. God can't do nothing else but do that. When God's seen the sin of this world and seen that man was dying without hope and could not be saved, and yet He knows that man was loving, it strained God.
Yes.
And it proved His nature.
Amen.
God's nature is love. God is love. And it strained God's nature until He had to provide a way of escape for those who were to escape.
Amen.
And He sent His Son into the world, away from the righteous and sinful flesh, to bear our sins and sickness to Calvary.
Amen.
God did it. The love of God going out called for sovereign grace.
Amen.
And God never said, if you'll do this, if you'll do this, I'll do this. God, without any conditions, He said, He's trying to die in your place instead of
that
situation.
Amen.
Had nothing to do with what you think about it. God did it anyhow.
Amen.
Amen.
Divine love, such as pain,
Father's grace has to take its place. That's all there is.
When divine love accepts the right thing, listen closely. That morning when I got out of the plane, got out of the hotel, started walking down the street, I was going along the same, all at once something seemed to pour down on me. A great shower of love. I thought, oh, if I could just only, oh, I feel the way I feel if I could just see somebody to pray for. That's where you feel. When there's something in your heart pouring. The other day, may I stop just a moment again. The other day, little Sarah got sick. When we started off, it was so hot, and I've been up every night, get about 2 hours sleep, delegates from all over the different parts of the world, had to eat this and that, and pray and preach 3 times a day. Oh, wow. I was just going, and then I got out behind the lake, and there was a few miles out, sitting out, so sleepy, even early in the morning, that I had to lay down on the side of the road and sleep. A little few minutes, got up and started again, I just put my whole mind open, trying to climb home to get to this woman across the hot, burning deserts of Nebraska. Going through there, and I thought, oh, my little Sarah, just a heaving and a gagging, poor little thing has been sick all night. Next morning, she was so sick, we just had to stop the car, and she just wiped her face. And I was so tired and poor. Oh, God, all the situation, trouble with God. Look here, I can't drive, I'm so tired, I've been out here with your people, trying to do the best I could. And little Sarah was so sick. Well, we went, and I went over there and put my hands on her. I said to her, Heavenly Father, you give me this child. This is yours! Amen.
I'm only raised her! I laid my hands up on her, something began to move down in my heart.
Amen. That ended the vomit.
Never thought once more from that day to this.
The second day, Becky started real sick like a virus and vomited. Little thing vomited all night.
Next day meeting, said, we'll get some Pepto Bismol, pour out a couple of spoons and give it to us, little thing to bomb us out of. We got into the pecans when we hit out of the hot country starting up. She wanted to see the beautiful mountains. She couldn't do it. She was so sick. I said, honey, look, y'all want to take that out. You want to take your picture before we see the mountain there? She said, oh, Daddy, I just feel like I'm dying. And so we give her another Pepto Bismol. We offered prayer that morning, said, Lord, have mercy. And all that didn't do no good. So we got up there, and I got her out. I said, honey, get out in the fresh air. Cold, she had a little jacket on. Snow laying around on the ground. So I got out, and she's trying to get ready. So, and the water just come out of her little mouth. I looked in her eyes, sat back, and her mouth just was wide around as it could be. I walked around, looked up towards the mountain, and I was looking through the hills, and put some of my help.
Amen.
My help! Come to the Lord. So I want something to get it turned down in me.
Amen.
Yeah, I wish I could have it all the time. I walked over there to the side of the car and said, I'm looking at your daddy, honey. Oh, my, that damn mountain is terrible.
Amen.
Oh, I had some Nancy's right around playing with Sarah. What is it?
Why is it fine?
Love it. Reject it. Why is it going to take this place? It has to. Down the street that morning, walking in Memphis, back to the story, walking down the street, Memphis, a fame to the Lord, and all at once, something said, stop! And I stopped. All at once, it said, turn and go back the other way. Well, that was towards the river. I thought, oh, my. I walked her apart, but well, I just, you know, you're impressed, you know, a lot of times people make mistakes with all impressions instead of divine leading. So I just started on, I thought, that was just, I felt, oh, Father, I got to worship God. I stepped up in a little fireplace, looked around, just some fishing things laying around. I thought it act like people passing by, to look at fishing things. When I got everybody kind of left the walk, that group from where the light turned, I said, kind of Heavenly Father, what word do you use for what you need to do? When that tree is moving on my heart, I just feel like I'm bursting on the inside. Just something pouring out. But to turn and go back. I said, word you said, turn and go back. Don't make a difference where you just keep on going.
Amen.
I turned and started walking back down the street. I walked. I looked at my watch. It's still urging me. It's past time. One little part is past time. 7:30 left. At 8 o'clock. Oh, my. I dug up way back down where it's the kind of right colored houses. A lot of little colored houses down there, way down. Now, I'm walking on there. The sun's way up high then. Early spring clouds all go up. Well, I missed my. I missed my plane, but oh God, it's all right, I missed the plane just as long as you. Where are you leading me to, Lord? I don't know where you're taking me. Where am I going? None of my business. Just keep on walking. I just walked on. After a while, I looked hanging out over the gate, like this. That was a typical old angel mama. Hanging across the gate, with his fat cheek, got a man's shirt wrapped around her head, like this, tied in the back. I was walking over, I got your deer running down a big fat speech like that. She looked over at me and said, good morning, Parson. I said, ma'am, said, good morning. She kind of looked at me, deer in her eyes. So she called me Parson. That's what they call a preacher in the South. You know? I said, how'd you know I was a Parson? She said, I know you're coming. What? She said, I know you're coming.
Okay.
I said, I don't understand, Annie. Would you tell me? She says, you know, did you ever read that story about the Shunammite woman who didn't have any children, and she asked the Lord to give her a child, and said, and Elisha come and bless her, and she got a child? I said, yes, ma'am. I remember that. She said, I was that kind of woman. Said, I didn't have any children. And I prayed to the Lord, and I told the Lord, if he would bless me and give me a child, then I would raise it for him. He said, he gave me a child. And said, I washed over the washboard, it was a little haunt there on the side. Said, I washed over the washboard and raised his child. And she said, when he got big, Parson, he'd taken the wrong road. And he said, he got out with the wrong company. And he's laying here dying. And said, the doctor man was here day before yesterday when he went unconscious. And said, he could never do no more for him. Just give him 6 off 6 silver sand and everything else, mercury and penicillin, nothing venereal, syphilis, saint, a foul out of his heart. He said, there's nothing that can be done for him. And said, he was laying here dying. And said, oh, Lord, I just want to see my baby die like that. And said, if I could just hear him say that he was saved. And said, I prayed and I prayed for 2 nights. Said, this morning about 3 o'clock, said, the Lord put me to sleep.
kneeling on my knees. But I dreamed a dream that I saw a man come with a white suit on, wearing a little half western hat put on his side of his head. I said, Lord, I was the woman before you like it. But here it comes. So I got right up out of that bed, and I've been standing right here ever since waiting for you. That's where I
dressed.
Oh, brother, when divine love is protected, that mother with her baby, you're 180 pounds, but it's still a baby, laying dying in disgrace. No matter how disgraceful he was, he was her baby. She loved him. That's a mother's love. No matter how much disgrace he brought, she still loved him.
Amen.
And if you can't forget your baby, no matter what, then how much more can God not forget you? He said your names are engraved on the palm of my hand. A mother may forget her sucking babe, but never will I forget you. No matter what she's done, how far back she's done, how much she's got in you, God is still loving you. God loves you. Keep that blood moving on. Don't let it fail.
No, she said, I just couldn't do it. And she said, Parson, I dreamed a dream and I saw you coming.
Hey.
And then when I looked down the street and I saw that little white suit, that little hat that was my head, but the spirit said to me, there he is. She said, won't you come in? I thought, oh, God. I thought maybe this is where you led me to. This is where you're not supposed to come. I didn't know. I opened up the gate and had a chain and a popcorn over it. I don't know where the team went around. I opened up the little old door and went in. Brother, I've been in King's palaces. I've been in the richest homes there is in the world. I've been in front of mountain millionaires worth $28 million. I've walked on the rug under the chenille from one side to the other where I could lay down and sleep easy on the doormat. But they let me home. But grandmother, not even a rug on the floor. And a little old poster on bed heading at it. Oh, I'm getting a little blanket pulled up over this boy, and a sign on the door, and God bless our home. I knew I was in the presence of a Christian home.
Amen.
I knew that I was somewhere where prayer would be. Not no cats on the wall, not no vulgar pictures, but the Bible laying open on a little old marble top table, and there!
The big boy laying there in the bed,
covers in gold. I said, oh, my belly's feet was sticky and cold.
Death was on the boy. And he kept it, oh, so dark. It's so dark.
And I said, what's he talking about? He said, Parson, that he hadn't been thinking for a lot of it. Thank days now that he's out on the big sea log. Said he don't know where he's going. And said, I was hurting my heart. Said he's going away, and he's lost out on the sea. And he don't know where he's going, said Parson. I prayed every day. I want him lost, Parson. And said, that's why I was praying. I said, Auntie, what's wrong with the boy? She said, it's a venereal disease. The doctor man now said he's dying. Nothing more can be done. He said, he's unconscious. He's been lost on the sea for 2 days. She said, will you pray for him? I said, Auntie, my name is Branham. Did you ever hear me? She said, no, sir. I don't believe I ever did, Parson. I said, well, I'm going to tell you a story. I said, my minister's praying for the sick. He said, it is. I said, yes. And I said, it's told her about the plane coming down and everything. She said, is that the truth, Martin? I said, he said, well, I know he wouldn't let me down. I said, you offer prayer.
She got in there and you talk about a prayer, for others. How that old saint could get a hold of God.
And she prayed till the tears rolled out of her eyes. I looked up and he said, well, I said, now, Andy, I'll pray. You know, hold on with me. I put my hand over on his seat. I said, Heavenly Father, my plane's done gone as far as I know. And there, this poor old mother was crying for her baby. And as far as I know, this is what you led me to. I pray that you'll be merciful to me just about that time. I would say, Mammy. Oh, Mammy.
She raised up and wiped the tears out of her eyes. She said, yes, honey.
Mommy's baby's feeling better. And you had to pat him on the head. He said, Mama, it's getting light in the room.
Hey, it's getting light in the room. Power, power, divine love can project into the heart of God.
Power and grace have answered his prayer.
Hallelujah.
I think of the poor mother there.
holding on with her prayer to God and all this. And then what happened? God in His grace, God in His mercy, would bring an airplane out of the sky.
Amen.
And hold it on the ground.
Amen.
To answer the prayer of a 12-acre cotton woman. And divine love was rejected no matter how pure she was, how hot she was, how jealous she was, that she was. When divine grace is rejected,
love of that old mother there, how she cried. And the boy, a few, about 2 years after that, I went down and saw the train going down. I got off and went up there to get me a hamburger. They wanted about 70 or 80 cents for it on the plane and on the train, and I could buy it for about 20 cents in the little stand. I got off the train, started down. This is really up there. Hell, what's the matter? I looked around and I said, good morning, son. Well, I said, don't you know me? I said, no, I don't believe you. Said, you remember about 2 years ago? When you come down and pray for me and my man, I said, are you the judge about the man? They said, I'm not only healed, but I'm saved now. I said, Christian.
Oh, with grace. Yes, sir, brother. I'm telling you, with grace, when God sees love protected, grace has to take its place. A few weeks ago at my house, you remember many of you well. When that old possum laying across there, and this young girl on here had drowned her baby, and when God gave her a baby and she didn't want to raise him, she wrapped in the blanket and threw it out there and drowned at the river. I said, that is a mother that's lower than a dog. An animal will do it. And if the sovereign love of God will can be protected to an animal, how much more can it be protected to a man?
Amen.
A woman. That's right. This old mother possum making her way up that thing, you know the story. How she come in and laid there, I sat for 24 hours. Me not even knowing nothing about her. Brother Woods then sat back there and Sister Woods with mercy for all the things. Said, Brother Bram, why do you let it suffer? And a poor little baby possum's drinking that old milk from her laying there dead. So why don't you kill him, Brother Bram, or destroy the old mother? She wasn't quite dead. She's, you can punch her, she, you get a move out of her. And there, she lay there all night. The next day, little old Becky there, she come out, she said, Daddy, was that morning about bed-eyes? She said, what did you do with that possum, Daddy? He said, I just didn't think about it all night. And I said, you're alive, Becky. Come on down in the room. I said, go on back, go to bed, honey. Sure, if you get up. I said, I'm in my dinner room. I thought, well, get a rub up there. I thought I had to do something with old possum. I don't know what to do. Then I heard a voice in so much that I wasn't even expecting it. But there were them apples come down that morning for Brother Hall. Wanted to see you with cancer. There was a sick and afflicted to be healed. I was sitting in the little dinner room. I heard a boy say, I sent her to you. She's laid like a lady for 24 hours for her dad to be prayed for. And you've never said a word to me about it. I said, well, I didn't even know it. I said, well, you mean you sent that possum? I said, what's the matter with you? I told him to myself. I called myself talking back to him. I walked out there and Becky was still looking through the door. I walked over the old possum there, do all over everything else. I said, Heavenly Father, if you sent that poor ignorant possum, if you sent him here, somehow I put in my heart of love for him, being a mother that I couldn't kill a baby. And sovereign grace to teach the rest of the people that you ought to know has brought her here, and God, I pray in Christ's name that you are here. That old possum with her legs so full of maggots and so dragging behind her, swelled twice the size, stood up on that leg and picked up those babies in her pocket, walked down through there just as normal as any beast you ever seen. Well, and then he zipped across and said, thank you, kind sir. The boys I know over there happy with her babies today. God, when divine love is projected, sovereign grace takes its place. My brother, sister, they've only got one thing to do in your life. That's love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and believe every word he said is the truth. And when you come to the end of your little world, you can't go any farther, then divine sovereign grace will be protected. How could I talk to you, Lena, when my old brothers are giving me up, sitting on the side of the poor Joel, and Brother Cox sitting by me, only was that, and I couldn't even stand it any longer.